Chapter 2. Edu arrives in India. Finally, the great day arrived. We took the plane at 1 p.m. and arrived at Bangalore Airport at 10 a.m. Because of the time difference, I lost almost a day of my life. But my father said, "Don't worry, you'll get it back when we fly home." Mr. Chennai was waiting for us at the airport, and he took us to our hotel. "I'm sure you want to rest after your long trip," he said before he left. "I'll come back this evening to take you to our home for dinner, and Edu can meet my family." "Thank you, that sounds wonderful," Dad answered. I was too excited to sleep, so I began to read about Bangalore in our guidebook. Bangalore means the town of boiled beans. The city is the science and high-tech center of India today. It's a very modern city with elegant shopping centers and some wonderful restaurants. But it has also got traditional markets, beautiful parks, and many old temples. I wanted to visit a lot of places, so I made a list of them. At 7 p.m., Mr. Chennai came to take us to his home. I met his wife, a pretty woman in a beautiful, colourful sari. "It's a pleasure to meet you," she said to me. "I've prepared a Western dinner for you tonight, but tomorrow we'll introduce you to our delicious Indian food." Mrs. Chennai spoke perfect English, just like her husband. "The British governed this country for many years, and generations of Indians grew up speaking English," Dad explained to me later. "But the Chennais also speak a local language called Kannada, and the national language called Hindi. In fact, you won't believe it, Edu, but there are 14 official languages in India, and 1,000 other minor languages and dialects." "Wow," I said, "I'm impressed. I can only speak Spanish and English." Then I met Chandra, the Chennai's son. He was my age and very friendly. He was dressed like me in jeans and a t-shirt, and not in the traditional Indian clothes. I was very happy to meet him and to have someone to talk to when the adults became too boring. After dinner, Mr. Chennai began to explain about religion in India. "My family is Hindu, like more than 80% of the people in this country," he explained. "Until 50 years ago, the country had a caste system in which people were identified according to their social class. Today it's illegal, but it's still part of our lives. When you look for a job or want to get married, originally, there were 4 main castes: religious leaders, soldiers, merchants, and farmers. Then, under these castes, there were the untouchables. Those people did the lowest jobs. The street cleaners today, for example, are from that class." Mr. Chennai's history lesson was interesting, but I also wanted to know how people my age lived in India. "Come to my room and I'll tell you all about Indian teenagers," Chandra suggested. I was happy to go with him. Chandra's room was filled with posters, just like mine. "My life is probably quite similar to yours," he said. "I like going to parties, going shopping and having fun. I work part-time in a pizza parlour to get some money. I listen to all kinds of music, read books, go to the cinema, watch TV and write on my blog. I chat with my friends on the internet. I'm also learning to be a playback singer for Indian films, and I'm crazy about cricket. Tomorrow, we can go to a game if you like." I didn't know anything about playback singers or cricket, but I agreed to go to a game with him. Chandra played some Indian music. It was a little strange to me, but made me feel very relaxed. Then Dad came in. "Tomorrow we'll see the city with the Chennais, but now it's time to leave," he said. I said goodnight to my new friend and thanked the Chennais for dinner. When we arrived at the hotel, I jumped into bed and was asleep in 2 minutes. I dreamed about all the wonderful things I wanted to do the next day.